These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, your calls on whatever you want. All that number stuff, which I enjoy talking about. I don't know if you do or not, but it's relevant because of Nifty's number going up there tonight for the Bruins. Hit on baseball in the first hour. Maz's Hall of Fame ballot is out. He votes for all the steroid guys now, which is awesome. Bonds, Clemens, Manny Ramirez on his ballot. Tremendous. That's on the table. You want the Red Sox to pull off that trade for that closer in Seattle if it means taking on Robinson. No, we discussed that. Patriots, Vikings, anything you want. As promised to your phones this entire last hour, my ranting and raving is over, which is a lie. Andy and Gardner. Go ahead, Andy, on the numbers.
Hey, Mike and Tony, G.I. Joe Jim, nice jacket. I'm just calling about the way it sounds like, you know, you're demoting the players that are up there for different reasons. I mean, every Bruin having their number raised is a true Bruin.
Sure, Andy, and thank you for the call. I loved Cam Neely. He was my favorite hockey player of all time. Who didn't love Terry O'Reilly? I love that guy. Loved him. I loved him as a coach. He was one of my favorite Bruins coaches.
He was a terrific coach.
He had a great little run as coach. He's the one that beat the Canadians finally as
Absolutely.
A coach. Oh, my God. I got a great place in my heart for Terry O as a Bruins coach. And I fully respected and liked Rick Middleton. He's your best player for almost a decade. Like, I got it. He's just, I want those guys up there to be the ultimate of the ultimate of the ultimate. And when you got Orr, Bork, and Espo, that's it. That's it. No one else need apply. Middleton doesn't belong on the same list as those three guys.
So, again, I get less animated about it on the team Hall of Fame. O'Reilly, I'm with you. Like, you know, to me, O'Reilly shouldn't be up there. Like, to me, there's got to be a level of performance of all the guys that are up there that recognize the great players. But on Middleton, you're wrong. I mean, Middleton scored more goals here than Neely did.
Here's Riley and Lowell. Hi, Riley. Riley! Okay, he said Espo would be nothing without Orr. So now that's just predating me a little bit. Like, I was four, you know, in those early 70s era. So I'll take his word for it. Espo was one of those guys that helped change the game. I mean, it was Orr and Espo. And Espo had all of the scoring records until Gretzky came along, right?
Yes, yep.
When Gretzky set all those records, the one he was beating was Esposito.
Correct.
So. Yep. I'm sorry, that's no doubt first ballot, all-timer, multiple champion, Bruin, put him on the board.
Yeah, so look, I never saw them play together either. That one was, I was a toddler for crying out loud when they were in their peak. So, I have a hard time sneezing at Espo. Like, you know, they were different players or created everything, but in terms of finishing in front of the net, there might not have been a better guy ever than Espo.
I want that Bruins list to be, and again, taking out Dick Clapper and those guys, do that on your own time. The Veterans Committee can talk about those guys. I'm going to talk about Orr, Espo, Bork, Bergeron, and that's it. That's it. Those are the four guys I want up there. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I want Williams, Yaz, Pedro. I'm saving one for Ortiz, and that's it. And what scares me about the Red Sox, I told you this earlier, not only have they not reused number 21, they're saving 21 to go up there, and it's sort of Weasley of the Red Sox. Are they still afraid of the steroid thing, or what is it?
Well, he's not in the hall.
So they're waiting for him to get in the hall.
Although they put Ortiz up there and he's not in yet.
Exactly.
So, but I ridiculed them for that. They should have waited on Ortiz.
So they break these rules all the time. They used to say you had to retire Red Sox and then they put Carlton Fisk up there. So all these teams are now twisting themselves in pretzels to come up with excuses to retire numbers because I think it's business.
Oh, that's definitely what it is.
It's totally business.
And so I reject that.
So the Red Sox ownership changed, right? Like, they got new owners in here.
So Ortiz is up there.
He is. Remember?
I forgot
about
that.
They retired him like a year after he...
Yeah, and then they named about five streets afterwards.
I think they retired it during that Cleveland series. So, again, the Red Sox should be Williams, Yaz, Pedro, and Ortiz. And I can't think of another one.
Clemens?
Again, toss-up.
Yes, yeah. Clemens should be up there, I think. But again, you know, to me, I'm not. I just think you're wrong about Middleton. The general premise of putting people up there who are worthy, I generally don't believe in the emotional guy. You know, the emotional connection to a player is what popped there. Just because he was one of your favorites. Like, what are we going to do? Put Kevin Millar up there too? Like that.
So hold on. Let me finish now, and I'm gonna give you two good examples of this. Not only are they holding 21 on the Red Sox, they're holding 33 and 49. Boston, who's 49?
That's Wake, bro.
It's Wake.
Wake.
Yeah.
They haven't reused Wake. Is that a sign that they're considering Wakefield up there? And that's your Terry O'Reilly, you know, fan favorite kind of thing. Don't tell me that that's what that is. Maybe it's the same equipment guy who just really had a good relationship with him and he's doing him a solid. Or I don't know.
So I don't know either.
But Veritek's definitely going to go up there.
But you know they're waiting for Veritek.
So I wouldn't put Veritek up there. I wouldn't put Wakefield up there either.
Their problem is those guys ain't ever making the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So they're going to have to come up with a whole new set of criteria.
Correct.
Which I don't put past. You can sell a whole bunch of jerseys. You sell a whole bunch. It's good business to retire these numbers.
But there's always a way to honor those guys with their numbers up there.
Thank you.
You name a part of the ballpark after them or something. Like, there's a million ways to do that. You know, and I've always felt that way because it was, you know, just years ago, there was a discussion with the Red Sox about Tony Conigliaro, who, God bless him, had a tragedy occur to him early in his career. But he didn't have the longevity as a player to have his number go up there.
Cam and Taunton, your thoughts?
Murray just hit on it before the update. The most egregious offense in this city is the fact Parcells isn't in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Because without Parcells, this team's in St. Louis. He made you relevant. He made you who you are before Belichick got here. And because he left and went to the Jets, he's not in because of some petty spitting contest. Mike, I guarantee you, Vinatieri's going to take a while to get in because he went and helped Peyton Manning win. I guarantee it.
Yep.
Because that fan base and that organization are such petty children, it's going to take a while.
I think they've gotten petty on the Hall of Fame. And I think it's the organization. I believe it's handpicked. Fans get to vote, but you can't tell me that. Well, Mike Vrabel.
Well, look at the two of the last three.
How does Matt Leick get in and not Mike Vrabel?
Wait, same with Kevin Falk, who I loved, but.
How does Kevin Falk get in and not Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel criticized the team during a CBA negotiation about the revenue coming from the stadium and from the mall. And the next thing you know, Mike Vrabel had his ass traded. And he's Kevin Falk. Kevin Falk is in over Mike Vrabel or Richard Seymour's not up there yet?
Right.
I mean, that's just a joke. But Kevin Falk at the draft made a crack about Brady and Deflategate. Now, so he's one of us. And so they just slip him in there. And there was another one with the Patriots that I find egregious. Oh, no, Parcells.
Yeah.
Parcells. Do the Crafts still hold a grudge? Because, the Crafts and Parcells.
I mean, he put the team on the map.
No. But I'm telling you, are the Crafts holding?
Probably.
Because they had tremendous internal spitting matches. But Parcells allegedly treated John Kraft very poorly. So,
or maybe they think it might offend Belichick.
Or Robert.
While he's still here.
Treated Robert poorly. Whatever. You know, the Crafts, you know, Parcells treated the Crafts very poorly. They hold that against him?
Parcells should be up there. There's no two ways about it. And I mean, look, you're not gonna get me into saying politics aren't a factor. The politics are always a factor.
We continue with your thoughts. We have some of these other items as well. We have a source who has told us that Bill Belichick is gone to coach the Cleveland Browns. This same source now has information for us on Josh McDaniels. We'll do that with your phone calls on sports. We've given away the Stones tickets.
Come on.
One last chance,
Murray. I
missed again. One last chance. Tomorrow, we'll give away another pair tomorrow. If you're calling on the Stones tickets right now, please stop. Call us to talk sports. Otherwise, save the Stones stuff for tomorrow.
Lanny, pick up. Come on. Let's spend the night together.
Back to your phones after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Nass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, everybody. Time to pitch and complain about who Tony Mazz thinks should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mazz's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and why? Did he port Clemens and Barry Bonds and Curt Schilling because he's a douche? Oh, it's Mazz's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and trucks anymore, but he's still in the BBWA.
God, I wanted to hear that again. I missed it the first time. Maz turned in as a member of the BBWA, turned in his Hall of Fame ballot last week. So that's why we talked about it.
Put it in the mail, baby. Checks in the mail.
Again, your list is who?
So there were four carryovers from last year's ballot that I kept on the ballot. Bonds, Clemens, Manny Ramirez, Edgar Martinez. And I have voted for Edgar from the very beginning. He's up over 70% now. He's probably going to get in this year. And then the only two names that I added were Roy Halladay, who's on the ballot this year for the first time, and Mariano Rivera, to me, who is one of the great slam dunks, easy decisions of all time. So I have six on my ballot. You can have a max of 10. Six for me is a high number. I'm typically around three or four max. You know, and there are guys now filling out 10 every year. You know, to me, this is a big ballot for me. But Bonds and Clemens should have got in years ago, but I have to keep voting for them.
So you and the steroid guys, just explain yourself again real quick.
So I just don't hold it against them from a moral standpoint of, you know, if you use, you're out. Like, I don't look at it that way. Clemens and Bonds, to me, were elite talents. And we've all seen enough baseball to know which guys had the real ability and which guys didn't. And so, to me, Clemens and Bonds were legit. So, and Manny was legit. So I have no doubt about those guys at all. They were elite performers.
Okay. I'm the small hall guy. I look at your list and I go, Bonds, Clemens, Mo Rivera. That's it. And Manny's a close fourth. Ooh, I want to put him in, but Bonds, Clemens, Mo Rivera, Manny Ramirez. Manny doesn't quite, you know what I mean? He's close. But, I mean, you can make the case that, well, you don't have to make the case. Statistically speaking, Barry Bonds is the best power hitter of all time.
Sure.
Roger Clemens is the best starting pitcher of all time, and Mo Rivera is the best closer of all time.
Correct.
So I just sort of like that list right there. That has integrity.
Yeah, look, again, to me, those guys, the only reason there were six on my ballot is because Bonds and Clemens are still on it for 6 years. Like, the fact that those guys haven't gotten in to me is a joke. And they'll end up getting in. It's going to take 10 years, but they'll get in. And maybe not quite 10, but their numbers are up in the mid to high 50s now. So once they hit 75, they're in.
So there's the reset on that. Here's Bob in Easton with the Josh McDaniels stuff. Bob, don't take up a lot of our time. Please get to the point.
Well, do me a favor, Felga. When you go back, you pompous Richard, when you go back to talking about retired numbers and making fun of the Celtics, can you please explain who Junior Bridgman is and go over the Milwaukee Bucks retired numbers? Okay? It's not being such a
jerk.
We're
a loser franchise. That's the point. Why do you... That should be for loser franchises.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on your loser franchise. But let's get real... The reason why I called. Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels. So, and Zolak's probably going to talk about this in the next week or two because he knows the same guy I know. When you guys were talking about it yesterday and the day before about how his face is out there, his name's out there, you guys obviously know that Bob Kraft has been a guy behind Garoppolo being traded. He's been behind Brady, Gronk, and now McDaniel staying here. Okay, would you guys agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm telling you right now, his name's out there. This is a power play. It's not to get a job anywhere else. It's a power play for Kraft to now step in again and make sure that Josh McDaniels is not going to go anywhere and Belichick
is gone.
I said this before, and I'll say it again, and Bedard said it, and I'm telling you, there is a deal in place for Belichick to be gone. Think about this, guys. Brady and Gronk aren't going to go anywhere. McDaniels is not going to go anywhere. Let me give the scenario to you guys, and I'm going to be quick. Maz,
quick.
Murray, and Felga, listen. If McDaniels left, do you think Kraft would be happy with Belichick here in the situation with Gronk, Brady, and not getting along?
I think he'd be okay with it. I do.
I say no.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on.
So I don't think...
No, he asked, would Kraft be okay if Belichick, Brady, and Gronkowski stayed even if they weren't getting along?
He wants a buffer. I would think that Kraft would want a buffer, that being Josh McDaniels or someone like that.
I mean,
if those three are still here and pissed at each other.
I don't get it, though. Bill, Brady, and Gronk have been here for a while, and they haven't gotten along for a while.
See, I don't think that Kraft really cares if they get along.
Right.
I think he cares if they can function together.
Is he still on, or do you have a payoff to that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just 2 minutes is enough. A payoff to what? I mean, I think we got the payoff.
I don't know. It sounded like he had some sort of other information.
No.
Like that he was throwing out that hypothetical.
No, I liked his original conspiracy theory that what Josh is doing here by this media blitz and putting himself out there for the next job.
Don't change your mind. Get rid of Bill and I'm
is to
the
force
job.
Robert's hand.
Mm.
It's to force Robert's. May I put this through the Felgramas processor, Bob? Josh is forcing out Bill. Josh is pushing him out.
It's a good way to look at it.
Josh is pushing him out.
Well, so look, this goes back, though. Let's go all the way back to when they kept McDaniels here in the first place. Not much time passed before McDaniels came out and said, I still have designs on being a head coach in the league. Why would you say that if you believed Kraft? And I'm talking from McDaniels' point of view now. So that was McDaniels' way of saying, fine, I'm staying for now. But don't think you're going to yank me around and jerk me around this whole time and that we're going to do the same thing again next year. Because you're telling me I wait 1 year and then I get the job. Fine. But if you don't give it to me, then I'm out. I'm going to go coach somewhere else. So to me, I felt like he was saying that at the beginning, out of the get-go or out of the gate last year from the get-go.
Interesting. Rick in Kingston, what other Patriot number deserves to be retired?
Andre Tippett. He's
56.
The only one you guys can mention. He's in the Hall of Fame. And I think he should.
56.
So I'm a yes on Tippett. I mean, but again, I admit I had an emotional attachment to that era.
73, 12, 56.
I mean, he's not as good as the other two.
He's close.
He was a monster.
Oh, he's great.
What a force he was. And so, you know, this is he's RLT. I mean, he's the closest thing we have.
Oh, I got it.
He is. He's RLT.
We've got Len in Taunton. What number deserves to be retired for the Red Sox?
Number 38.
I'll tell you what. I think 38 belongs up there before Boggs does.
No, Schilling wasn't here long enough.
He's a freaking champion.
So what? So what, anybody who was on there, you're going to put Orlando Cabrera up there too?
No, the guys that led it.
How about Keith Folk?
The guys that led one.
One what?
One.
Oh, you mean one World Series?
One.
So you
W-O-N-O-N-E.
So Pedroia, you putting him up there?
Multiples.
I bet they will, though.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to save Petey. What's his effing number, 19?
15. I'm not putting Pedroia up there.
Me neither. They will. You know they will.
I don't know.
You know they're saving Veritek. You know they're going to save Pedroia. Petey. They love that guy.
I'm a no on Schilling.
I'm a yes on Schilling.
I'm a no on Schilling for the
Well, No. I'm a no on Schilling. But I'm telling you, if I have the choice between Schilling or Boggs, who should be up there? You can only get one.
Schilling. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
But I'm a no on both.
So this is the problem. When you allow the Wade Boggses, Rick Middletons of the world, then the floodgates are open. Everyone says Cam Neely's a no-brainer. I'll tell you again, with 1 point tonight, a goal or assist tonight, David Krejci ties Cam Neely for all-time scoring on the Bruins.
It's not the same.
And David Krejci won himself a cup, could have easily been a cup MVP, and then went back and led the NHL in playoff scoring a second time 2 years later and almost won another cup. Could make the claim that Krejci's done more than Neely. Could make the claim. I don't like him as much as Neely. He wasn't as
impactful.
All I'm just saying is when you open these floodgates and you start lowering the bar, then the next thing you know, number 46 is up there. And some kid goes to the game and he tugs on his dad's jersey and says, who's 46, Dad? And the dad's like, I'm not even sure.
Was Once it, again, you take it to extreme.
Joseph Stumple?
Like
who
that,
was
like,
that?
Like somehow Krejci and Neely are the same.
They're not?
Would you stop with that?
And this is like I'm saying.
You can have Neely up there and not have Krejci up there.
Terry O and Bobby Orr don't belong on the same level of the garden.
So listen, Terry O, I'm with you on. Neely scored 400 goals.
Steve in Dedham. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I called a while back saying that he thought that he said that Deion Branch was the last receiver the Patriots actually really developed into somebody. Do you think you guys said the problem you thought was Belichick and his drafting? Do you think anything has to do with it with Brady and,
yes.
and not being – it doesn't seem like they can draft anybody. I mean, you look at some of these other teams that draft receivers, and they're studs right away, like Juju Smith-Schuster for the Steelers.
Steve, I've gone late. I'm sorry. I just have to cut you off. I think Brady's partly to blame, but it's not like I blame him, if that makes any sense. What I mean is, he's such a heady player, and he plays, you know, he's so dependent on his reads and going to the right place with the ball that the receiver has to be on the same page with him. And it's so hard for these receivers to get on the same page with him.
Okay, what about his patience level?
So I wouldn't want Brady any other way. It's just the way that it is. Brady's mental level, his acuity, makes it hard for any new receiver, young or old, to come in here and do anything. So that's definitely part of the issue.
Okay, who do you blame for Chris Hogan right now?
This year, Brady.
Okay,
But I do blame, because that's not a mental thing. That just feels like he shut the guy out for some reason.
Okay, so when I think Brady does that, though, and I think now if you said to me, well, pick a guy historically that would have panned out if he gave him more time, I don't know. I mean, I have to think about it. But Brady quits on guys fast.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with more here on Felger and Maserati.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I packed your phones as promised. I do not think Rick Middleton should be in the Raptors, but it's nothing to do with Rick Middleton. I just want to make that clear. A dump on the guy. He was a great Bruin. I loved him as a kid growing up. Loved him. I just want a small haul. I want a small, tight little list. Billy in Boston. Go ahead. You disagree.
I'm a small haul guy, but I disagree with Rick Middleton not going up there. I mean, does a player have to win a championship to put him in the hall? Because that's the only thing he has going against him is that he didn't win the championship. He was a point per game player. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So he's a point per game player in the playoffs as well, not just regular season, just about a point per game player, and he's actually still sixth all time for shooting percentage at almost 20%. That's ridiculous. He definitely belongs up there. He's not going into the Hall.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. He's not in the Hall of Fame. So I told you my criteria.
Okay, should he be?
Championship, Hall of Fame, and greatest of your era for a long period of time. So, you know, no doubters. Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski. And so the exceptions, I keep forgetting to put Yaz on it. The exceptions are Ray Bourque, Yaz, Yastrzemski, guys who were so good, so dominant for so long, and they didn't win a championship. I'll give them a pass. Okay? Should Rick Middleton be in the NHL Hall of Fame? A lot of hockey people think so. I'm not a scholar on it. I don't know the parameters. I don't know. But there's a lot of hockey people who think he should be. So that's fair. He could be an NHL Hall of Famer. But those individual stats you give me on Middleton, they're really kind of meaningless because it was a different era. Tons of goals were scored in the 70s and 80s. That was a really high-scoring era. So a point-a-game guy now is Connor McDavid through the roof, $15 million a year. There's only a handful of those guys a year, if that. In the 70s and 80s, it wasn't as hard to do. I compare him to the rest of the league. Rick Middleton never finished higher than 10th in the league in points. And that was only twice. Twice in his 12 or 13-year career. In goals, he never finished higher than 7th. And he was only in the top 10 three times. He was only an All-Star three times. And again, my page X'd out here, but I don't know how many years he played. 12 years. He was an All-Star only three of the 12 years. He got the MVP voting is the heart, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hart Trophy. Yeah.
He only got a couple of votes in two of those years. Never mind, you know, finishing top three or anything. So it's like he just, not in the Hall of Fame. He didn't dominate his era. They never won a championship. It's
okay.
Like, I'm just not retiring that number.
Yeah, but again, relative to the rest of the league, like, what does it matter about where he rates compared to Guy Lafleur for the hockey, for the Bruins Hall of Fame?
Okay, so I understand what you're saying to the previous caller, ragging on me for Junior Bridgman, who I liked. That's for loser franchises. Right? When you're a decorated the Bucks are a loser franchise. So we got to put Junior Bridgman and Paul McKeskey and Alton Lister in there because we don't have anybody else. We suck.
Yeah, what were the Bruins till 2011?
So does that mean you suck? I mean, so if Middleton and O'Reilly are up there, does that mean you suck? That's a bad thing to say up there.
Yeah, but Middleton and O'Reilly's not a fair comp, though. He was way better than O'Reilly.
Then talk to the team. They're the ones that retired both of them.
Okay, so but they also retired Neely, and Middleton scored more than Neely did. He was the best goal scorer, basically, of his era in the franchise.
Well, let's start dusting off 46 and make sure that there's room for 46 up there.
See, again, you take it to an extreme. Take it a little too far.
Me? Joey
and Felgren Mass Processor.
Joey in the car. Go ahead, Joey. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So we're talking about jersey number retirements, and there's one guy that just sticks out to me between it's a no-brainer and, damn, all the games that he's missed every single year. So Gronk, is it a no-brainer? Did he get his number retired, or do you look?
87. It's a good one. I'm sorry, I cut you off, too. 73, 12, and 87. I'm for it as long as they don't try and cheese in a Ben Coates mention. Like, it's a dual number retirement for Coates and Gronk.
See, I would have no problem with that.
I would.
Coates was dominant.
He was great. He ain't Gronkowski.
No, Gronk deserves to go up there.
That's him.
I mean, let's not be stupid.
I don't want Gronkowski sharing it with anyone.
You know, Gronk should be up there. He's an absolute freaking force of nature. A unique player.
And
he's arguably the greatest player in his position in the history of the league.
I'm with the caller. He should have to share it because he doesn't play enough games. Some malady one after the other. Oh, it's the back.
Okay, then one gets it. Coates doesn't belong up there. He doesn't. And let me tell you, he was a sneaky, bad influence on that team. That was still the loser Patriots, even though they had some talent and Parcells got here. They still had a whiff, and he was a part of that, man. And I would put Armstrong on that list. And, you know, it was when that sort of era flushed out is when you started winning, when Bill got here. So I'm not a Coates guy. I mean, he had some tremendous years with Bledsoe. Don't get me wrong. I understand. Brian in Bellingham on that Bob and Easton conspiracy theory. Josh McDaniels pushing out Bill. How do you feel about that, Brian?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Absolutely, he's pushing out Bill, and here's the why. Because in this offseason, he wants to either draft or trade for his own franchise quarterback. That's why he's pushing Bill out. He doesn't want Bill's stamp on that at all.
So, I'm sorry, I sort of lost him on that logic.
No, saying that he wants to be able to pick the quarterback. And, you know, maybe he got overruled in this draft and he wanted to take one and Bill wouldn't let him.
That's the word.
So I wonder, like, really, again, to me, it's not, if you look at the timeline, that McDaniels gets talked into staying, then they go to the draft and they don't take a quarterback? How does that make sense? Why would you want to be the next coach of the Patriots without knowing who the next quarterback's going to be? That's like the first question.
Yeah, it is.
So they traded away Garoppolo and McDaniels is here. Now he says, all right, well, now you got no successor here. I might as well go. What's the point? No, stay. We'll have a hand. We'll get your quarterback in this draft. Fine, except then they don't take one. And meanwhile, he's working out Lamar Jackson. They tried to trade up and get Mayfield. They couldn't do that. So they clearly wanted one of those two guys, or maybe he wanted one of those two guys. And Bill says, nope, never mind. I'm going to take the fat kid from Georgia.
Poor Isaiah Wynn. That should be on the back of the jersey. They sell those in Fanatics or whatever, fat guy from Georgia.
You could probably get that custom made.
What number is he wearing? Like 67 or something? No. It just says fat
whatever.
Kid.
Right back to you. Yeah, right back to you, buddy. Yeah, whatever. Come on over here. Come on. Right back to you. I felt like giving that guy the finger.
Yeah, no problem. Hello to the rest of our team.
I usually don't do that. I hope you got it.
Think it should just say fat kid.
Isaiah Wynn is 76.
76.
Makes him look fatter, that 7-6.
Well, you don't need the from Georgia part. That's like part of his bio.
He's 76? I thought that was one of the Patriots' retired jerseys. Who's Will in the car? What do you got, Will?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? Love the show. What about number 24 for the Red Sox? One of the best right-handed hitters of all time. Love to hear your thoughts.
No.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Was Dewey also 24?
Dewey was 24.
So
yeah.
Is that another one people?
Oh, so he's talking about Manny.
Yeah, he's talking about Manny. I know. I was just curious.
Oh no, no, Manny wasn't here quite long enough.
And now that's my number, isn't it?
Oh right.
Yeah. Put it up. Put it up.
That's right.
I hold all the cards now. Put it up.
That's another one of your dual citizenship numbers, Murray.
Yeah.
You give that one half to Manny and half to David Price, and split it like Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Mm.
It's a heady reference.
That's an interesting analogy. Kenny,
well, half of the island.
No, I got it. I got it. Kenny in the car. Go ahead, Ken.
Gentlemen, I had to pull over. Why in the world would Bill Belichick even want to come back to this team? I watched that game on Sunday. I saw an old age home out there. There's a lot of empty pieces out there. Why does he want to come back? Great show. I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Okay, babe. I don't know. As long as Brady's here, he's going to be – as long as he's in the AFC – let's say realign. As long as he's in the AFC East and he has Brady, he's gifted. Like, it's like being a coach of an SEC school that's good, or one of these college programs. You have one or two hard games a year. You go to the conference final or semifinal every single year. You're the highest paid guy in all of sports, probably. You're close to your homes in Nantucket and here, and what? So why would he quit?
Well, I go back to what maybe a caller said yesterday. What if he wants to stick it to Kraft? And to that matter, for Brady. Okay, fine. So you think I'm leaving and you have my successor here? I'm not going. I'm staying. How do you like that? Meanwhile, I'm going to chase, since you chased out the successor to Brady that I wanted, Garoppolo, you now have my successor in McDaniels. I'm going to chase his ass right out of here. Why don't you go chase after him on Route 1 and see if you can follow him to Logan?
I mean, yeah, there's some spite involved there. Okay, he wants to be the last man standing. What if it's so we have?
I mean, that's a lot of work to put in just to spite somebody.
Well, I mean, see, don't underestimate the power of spite. Maybe it's Belichick that's floating out all this Josh McDaniels stuff.
No, it's not. It's Trace Armstrong, his agent.
I mean, maybe Linda doesn't want him at home. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stories about couples like that. Like, you know, I mean, if I were her, I wouldn't want him around all the time either, Mr. Sunshine.
Did you get me giving that guy the finger? Did that really go on TV or not? Did it?
I don't know. I didn't
say it. I'm curious.
So that guy give you, was that someone you knew?
No.
Oh, so that guy was giving it like a listener.
Yeah, legit finger.
Vinny tells me like that he saved you.
Good. Oh. Thank you, Vin.
Okay.
For some reason, I don't know why. Usually I let it, 99 times out of 100, I let it go. I don't know why I felt like giving it right back.
Well, that was like the email I got yesterday.
Oh, that was bad. Did you do anything about that?
No. No. Other than block the sender? No.
Hey, you should read that on the air. I don't know. The guy's name on the air. Either way, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
This reconfigured garden, which they've really done a great job with. They finally opened up the front doors.
You can't go up them yet, though. The steps and the escalators.
Oh, I did the other day.
Oh, you can?
I did.
Oh.
I think it's wide open. I was just about to say.
That, oh, all right. Well, okay. You can.
That new front entrance where you can walk up from Causeway Street or escalator up. From Causeway Street on the outside, drops you off right on the second floor, right outside the gates. It's great.
I like it, too.
I mean, it's really a great thing.
Classy.
That they've done it. Again, like I like to say, it only took them about 25 years to finally put something into the place, but they did. But they did, and it looks great. But you know what? It's done. It's increased our exposure a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Has it ever?
I don't know if I'm not a big fan of that. Especially if, giving me obscene gestures and whatnot.
The reckoning's coming, Felger.
All right, what do we got, Murray?
Well, with Rick Middleton's number being retired tonight, got a little chippy between you boys as to whether or not 16 should be up in the rafters. Thank God.
I don't remember this.
Are we putting David Krejci up there?
No.
No.
Why not?
I know. It's okay.
Well, why not?
Now you got my head all twisted around thinking
about
it this way.
Why? Why not?
Well, okay, but you're going by points now.
I'm going by impact. David Krejci's done more here than Cam Neely did. Do you think David?
And if Cam were sitting right here right now, there's no way I'd say that.
So do you think that David Krejci is a better player than Cam Neely?
He did more.
Do you think he's a better player?
No,
I didn't ask you if he did more.
Okay, but that doesn't mean anything. I think Joe Janot might have been a better player. But what that it's what you did.
You like
Neely because he's a big, bad Bruin and he could punch people, which I liked too, believe me. I knew, but this is another game I'm going to play with you. If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
Okay? If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there. And
Middleton belongs up there.
David Krejci can go up there because points were goals.
It's different. Middleton's points were goals. Like, different position.
I'm
totally different
you,
argument.
This is what you do when you cheapen it. This is what you do when you cheapen it.
It's a team Hall of Fame. It's going to be cheap. Like, but again.
Well, then David Krejci's up there.
No, he's not.
Well, based on you told me Neely was the benchmark. So he's going to tie Cam Neely tonight. And that fellow won himself a cup.
Do you think, again, I'll ask you the question. Do you think that David Krejci is a better player than Cam Neely?
And I told you that's not how we're doing this.
Well, that's not how you're doing it.
No, you said benchmark. You said number. You started giving me numbers.
Because I'm telling you that Rick Middleton and Cam Neely, apples to apples, they played the same position. They were both goal scorers. The apples to apples.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.